This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Helena B. from Little Compton, Rhode Island. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for June 5th, right? Today's June 5th.
Yeah, sorry about that.
This is episode 673. This episode is brought to you by Back on Track. Good morning, Horse World.
Morning. Today is Wednesday.
Hey, everyone. Happy Hump Day.
Happy hump day, baby. Here's to another week. Halfway done. The downhill stretch has finally begun.
Daddy, I want another pony.
What do they call Wednesday hump day? Innocuous jibber-jabber.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us here on this Wednesday morning. We also want to thank Helena for stopping by. Helena B., of course, from the Stable Scoop Radio Show. Howdy, Helena.
Hi. I'm a little nervous doing a live show, but I'm really happy to be here.
Yeah, you've done the live show before, but I don't think you've ever helped narrate the fiasco that is the EquityMFG.com Wheel of Trivia, have you?
No, that'll be a first. And, you know, it's been quite a while since I've been on Horses in the Morning, so I just got to get those live. Those live nerves out of the way, I think everything will be okay.
Well, and I appreciate you joining us, too, because I know you have a cold, and it's never much fun to have to talk for an hour and a half when you have a cold live.
So. Well, you know me, talking's never a problem.
That is true. And for those that don't know, who don't listen to the Stable Scoop Show, Helena actually was the one that helped start all of this, almost 5 years ago, Helena. It was her and I that started the Stable Scoop Show, which was the first show on the Horse Radio Network all those years because we were bored and wanted something to do.
Because we were bored. Remember those days?
Yes. Yes, and we all both had other jobs and, you know, just doing our things and just doing a quiet little show. And here you are now on almost episode number almost 700 here on Horses in the Morning.
Yep. See, that's a live thing. Yep.
Yep. So you can't do that.
Yep,
I can't cut
I
out those pauses like we do with the Stable Scoop Show. They're going
to
be here.
Those are actually, they're great fodder for the Boober Reel. If you guys haven't listened to the Stable Scoop Boober Reel, go on to stablescoop.com and search the archives for blooper shows.
It's true.
Trust me, I am responsible for most of them.
Well, actually, I'm looking here. Jennifer said the first episode that we did on Stable Scoop was August the 8th of 2008. So we really are coming up on 5 years.
Wow.
It's a long time. You're going to have to come down here to Florida and we can celebrate. Wait a minute. In August, maybe we should go up there.
I know. It's true. Well, it's been a year. I haven't been to Ocala in a little over a year. So the timing may be right. But, you know, I do think it's time you guys came up here.
Well, I wanted to tell you, and I forgot to mention it yesterday, that Rochelle, who used to work with you and Jennifer in Boston, too, who is the girl we have on the show here, she's our adopted vet student who goes to vet school in Slovakia, or Slovenia, I forget which. But she's staying with us right now because she's doing a marine aquatic course down here in Florida for the next 2 weeks. So she's staying with us every day down here right now. So it's kind
of awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of ironic.
Is she studying sharks?
What's that?
Is she studying sharks?
Yes, sharks, and they're going to be doing manatees and dolphins and all kinds of different things. So, and they get to go swim with them and do really neat stuff. There's a lot of classroom stuff too, and then they cut some open too. So, do necropsies and stuff, which is kind of gross. But the swimming with them part's cool.
Hmm. That's Rochelle. I love that. She's always up to some kind of really cool adventure. Of course, she's got to put in like all the grueling hours of veterinary education to get there. But
yeah, in a foreign country where you don't understand the language. It's like
I know. But that's Rochelle, man. She gets it done.
That's right. Well, we want you to give us a call for the EquityMFG.com Wheel of Trivia at 347-637-3238. 347-637-3238. What's coming up on today's show, Jennifer?
on today, on today's Back on Track Wednesday edition, it's Helena B's maiden voyage on the good ship Tittum as Wednesday Quizmaster, and we expect a very steep learning curve. And as is our Wednesday habit, the velvet voice of Horse and Country TV, Victoria Spicer, will be stopping by to answer our cue of the day and bring to the fore the latest and greatest from across the pond, sure to create smiles. And finally, our Wednesday finale features the fervent discussion on joint injections with the Horse.com's weekly horse health report. Stay tuned for the fracas, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Jennifer's going to start lining up the callers for the Wheel of Trivia. And again, if you want to give us a call, it's 347-637-3238. But now it's time for the Daily Whinnies. Well, and I wanted to mention, too, that we are giving away a Horse Radio Network mug to every new caller. If you're a new caller and get on the air today, we will give you a Horse Radio Network mug as a bonus. You don't even have to get the question correct. So, again, it's 347-637-3238. My Daily Whinnie goes out to Rebel. Rebel is a horse that it retired this week from the San Francisco Police Mounted Unit. After 2 years, apparently he's going into retirement to a nice, they have a farm set up for all the old retirees from that unit. And they had a big party at Lefty O'Doul's on Geary Boulevard. Isn't that a cool name for a pub, Lefty O'Doul's? You just can picture
it. Wow.
Can't you?
Yeah.
They have green beer there for sure. You know they do. So they at Lefty O'Doul's, they gave him a retirement. He's been doing active duty for 2 years. He was one of 5 horses honored in that annual ceremony. And he's a quarter horse. They gave him a breakfast bucket of carrots and apples. He joined in 2011, and he's going to be retired now to their 40-acre pasture they have in an undisclosed Sonoma County location. Ooh, they keep them hidden. And there were 2 rookie horses that were welcomed to the unit, and this is a unit that's been around for 141 years, this mounted unit. So the new ones are Quinn, a 9-year-old quarter horse, and Strider, an 8-year-old Percheron Morgan. They also honored Magnum, who was honored posthumously because he was injured in the line of duty 6 months ago and died at the UC Davis Vet Hospital. So they had a ceremony for him, too. But we want to wish Rebel a happy retirement, eating nothing but grass and hanging out all day long. And now it's time for your Daily Whinnie.
My Daily Whinnie goes out to a fellow in the horse world who is unlike any other I know. I've never met any horse professional who is as enthusiastic, passionate, and happy as my good friend Jamie Cohen, equine sports massage therapist extraordinaire. Jamie and his wife Amy welcomed their first child, a baby boy, little Jonathan, on May 15th. And I just wanted to give a great big warm Whinnie welcome to little Jonathan Cohen.
Yay! Way to go. So they have one exact same age as Jamie's baby then.
Yep. So our 2 Jamies had 2 babies. 2 Jamies and 2 babies.
Jamie's a nice guy too. Actually, we've had him on the Stable Scoop show a couple times.
Yes, and he is truly one of the most joyful, energetic, enthusiastic people I've ever had the pleasure of knowing. And his wife is equally as sweet and wonderful. So I can't wait for this little baby to grow up. And he's got like a million horse mamas. It's crazy. He will want for nothing. So we're happy to have him in our world.
Terrific. And I wanted to mention, too, for those that are waiting on the line for the Wheel of Trivia, Jennifer is getting the caller set up now. If you are waiting online for the Wheel of Trivia, press 1 on your phones. That lets her know that you're not just a listener, but you do want to participate as well. Because one of the things that we don't talk about a lot is you can actually call in to listen to the show. Here at Horses in the Morning, and a lot of people do. They actually call in and just listen on their phones for the entire show every day, so you can do that as well. The sound quality is actually better that way, but we can't tell you apart from the people who are just listening, so definitely press 1 so she can get to you. And we'll get to the wheel here in just a minute after she gets some people set up here. Well, Helena, it's wonderful to have you here, and it's kind of weird, too, all at the same time. I have a story, though, I got to tell you, because you were from New York, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, do you know where the New York suburb of Scarsdale is?
I do, indeed.
And so you've been there? It's kind of, is it right outside the city?
It's right outside. It's just north of the city. It's in Westchester County.
So it's where, like, the rich people hang out?
Yeah, very rich.
Well, that makes sense then, because this woman who was a mother of three, she lives in this wealthy suburb of Scarsdale, and she is a horsewoman. She has enjoyed horseback riding for a number of years, apparently. She competes and she shows. And to pay for that, you know, it's expensive. Our horses are expensive, and you have to cover the bills, right? She has two kids, 3 and 13. Well, this nice, quiet, little rich lady who apparently didn't cause any trouble at all just got arrested because she had one of the largest marijuana growing operations in Queens, New York. She had over 1,000 plants in a warehouse, they said it was very sophisticated. She had the lights and watering systems, and they have a picture here. Let me tell you, she has a hydroponic watering system and ventilation equipment. And when they have a picture of the warehouse of the plant, she had some healthy look. I wish I could keep my plants at my desk that healthy.
I know. I've not been able to keep a houseplant alive in like the last 15 years.
I know.
Although I guess if I was motivated, if I was growing marijuana, I might be differently motivated.
$3 million worth of plants they found. They think her operation was worth up to $10 million a year.
Wow, that's why she lives in Scarsdale.
I know. She could afford to pay her feeder horses a little better than you and I could, that's for sure. We're in the wrong business, Helena.
You're just figuring that out now?
We need to get into marijuana growing in a warehouse in Queens, apparently. They busted, by the way, three others that apparently all were friends with this woman who also had warehouses with these growing operations in the same area. And they were all friends. Apparently, they all compared. No, you know, you got to talk about what works best to grow the pot. Yeah, you have to make sure you make good stuff. So you can't always do that on your own. You need help.
Could you know all this?
All right.
What are you not telling us, Glenn?
And on that note, let's go to this.
It's time for the EquityMFG.com Queen of Trivia, where every week, unsuspecting horse enthusiasts call the show with illusions of trivia grandmaster dancing in their heads, willing to risk all for their chance to spin the wheel and possibly win some fantastic prize. Or answer incorrectly and have torn away every ounce of equestrian street cred they have, like an old bell boot.
That's right. It is time for the Wheel of Trivia. We play every Wednesday morning, and I see we have a lot of callers on the line, and we're going to start getting to you in a second. But first, I must explain the rules. We'll get you on the line, and we do have a question of the day that we've been starting to do this over the last couple of weeks. Helena, what is the question of the day?
The question of the day is, your horse's mane, do you pull it, cut it, or let it go au naturel?
All right, so that's the question of the day. We'll ask everybody that gets on the air. If you get the question, the trivia question correct, and we have three categories, we'll go over here in a second. If you get it correct, you hear the bell that's on my desk here. And if you get it wrong, you hear, and this is everybody's favorite, the high school basketball buzzer. So does that bring back memories, Helena? High school basketball buzzer?
It does. I mean, that's the signal of party time.
You were a cheerleader, weren't you?
Yeah, like I said, game over, party time.
All right, let's start with Kayla. And I do need to mention, we're going to start with Kayla from Maryland, but I need to mention that the crappy prize on the wheel this week, which hasn't been won in several weeks, is a 6-pack of colorful crappy hoof picks. So that's what the crappy prize is. Let's say hello to Kayla. Are you
there? Hey, Kayla. How are you? Welcome to Horses in the Morning.
Hey, I'm a first-time caller.
Yay!
Awesome.
Kayla gets a mug. She gets a mug right away, so you get one of our HRN mugs.
All right.
And I have one of those mugs, Kayla. They're pretty cool. Do you drink coffee?
Tea.
They're perfect for tea. They're perfect for tea.
All right, let's give her the categories that we can choose from today.
All right, Kayla, the two categories you get to choose from are...
Three.
Random facts.
There's three categories.
We have three, right. Yeah. All right. Three categories. Number one, random facts to impress your friends. Category number two, geez, I should have known that. And category number three, name that tune, in which we play a sound clip from shows that had a horse in it, and you have to guess what show the tune came from. So which category do you think you'd like, Kayla?
Why don't we go with I should have known that.
Geez, I should have known that. Okay, first question. Are you ready?
All right, I'm ready.
5 seconds to answer.
In USEF hunter competition, ponies are divided into three categories by A, age of rider, B, height, or C, weight.
Height.
Excellent.
Very good. I wasn't sure about that. I had to think about that for a second. I had to think about that. Hey, Kayla, before...
I was a little nervous about it.
The answer's right there in the show notes, Glenn.
So, Kayla, let's spin the wheel for you and see what we can win you today. Not only do you win the mug, you win something else, too. So here we go. Do you ride, by the way?
I do. I'm an event rider.
Oh, are you? Okay, cool. What level?
Yeah. Well, right now I have a young horse. I've competed intermediate, but I have a young horse that's doing its first training this weekend.
Oh, well, good luck with that. That's always fun when you bring them out for their first time over a training level course, isn't it?
It is.
She says with some amount of hesitation.
Sometimes it's fun.
Yes. All right,
we'll
here we go.
We'll just have to go over all the fences the first time.
Yes, yes. Just come back in one piece. That's all we care about, Kayla. All right, here we go. Hey, you can hear the wheel today. I fixed that darn mic again. You just missed the crappy prize. I mean, just missed it by one. But you're going to be happy with what you won, Kayla, because you won Carrot's Microcord Boot Cut Extended Knee Patch Breeches. Those are worth $99. Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, that's a terrific prize. And let me tell you a little bit about them. They're the ultimate in versatility. This pant can be worn with paddock boots or easily tucks into half chaps or tall winter boots. Their figure flattering compression microcord is supportive, provides ultra unrestricted movement, and looks great both around the barn and out on the town. So you excited about that?
I'm very excited. What horse folks can't use a new pair of breeches?
That's true, especially Carrot's breeches. So, all right, we have you down. Hold on. Jennifer's going to take your information, and we'll get those out to you. And she won the mug also. Well, we have another new caller here. Helena, say hi to... I'm trying to find... Jennifer's telling me who's coming up next, and I think he might have fallen off. I can't find him on the list here. So let's take... Lorraine in Pennsylvania is a new caller.
Lorraine. Hi, Lorraine. Hello. Welcome to Horses in the Morning.
Hi. Thank you.
So you're
been a listener. I just have never called in before.
Yay. Well, you win the HRN mug.
I know. I'm very excited about that.
Now, ask her the question of the day. We forgot that last time.
Oh, right. Okay. The question of the day, Lorraine, is your horse's mane. Do you pull it, cut it, or let it go natural?
I'm probably going to be embarrassed to admit this, but I do cut it. But I'm always, I hate pulling mane. So I always kind of try to cut it very carefully so that it kind of has a natural look to it.
All right. Me too. I'm embarrassed to say it, but it always looks good. I mean, you know, I always want to get like a professional hairstylist to come and do my horse's mane so they look pulled, but they're really cut.
Yeah, I don't like to admit that I cut it, but it's, you know, I just hate pulling mane. And I can't stand
right
that it gets long and scraggly.
I'm right there with you. All right. We have three categories for today's trivia. Random facts to impress your friends. Geez, I should have known that. or name that tune, which is sound clips from shows that had a horse in it. You have to guess the show based on the sound clip. So which one would you like?
I'm going to go with I Should Have Known That.
Darn.
Geez, I Should Have Known That. Okay, you ready?
Yes.
What percentage of a horse's weight while standing still is carried on the forehand?
I'm going to guess 40%.
The answer is 60 to 65% of a horse's weight is carried on his forehand while standing still.
You know, I probably would have been with you, because obviously it's 60-65%, so, you know, a majority of the weight's carried on the forehand. I probably would have been with you and went more towards the middle or lower side. So
that's what I was guessing.
Yeah, I probably would have went that way too. That was a tough one. Jennifer gave you a tough one there, but you still win the mug.
Yay.
So hold on. And
I'm excited about that.
Hold on, and Jennifer, and thank you. I remember you posting on our Facebook page, and we appreciate you listening, Lorraine.
Thank you. You guys have a good day.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks, Lorraine. Take care.
Okay. Jennifer's going to get to her and get her name there. We have a new caller from out of Ontario, Canada. This is Shay.
Hi.
Shay, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hello.
Up.
Welcome, Shay. Welcome to Horses in the Morning. Are you ready to play... what's the name of this game? Wheel of... Yeah.
Yes, I am.
This just tells you how many games we play here on Horse Radio Network. Okay, so first I want to ask you the question of the day, which is, your horse's mane, do you prefer to cut it, pull it, or let it go natural?
Definitely au naturel.
And do you use anything in it? I know this isn't really part of the question, but I'm curious.
No, not usually.
Okay.
What kind of horses, by the way? Yeah, what kind of horses?
I'm ashamed to say I have 7. I have a off-the-track thoroughbred. I have a couple of Canadian crosses and a couple of quarter horses and a little miniature pony for my granddaughter and a fjord, a little fjord pony.
You do have a variety pack.
Uh-huh.
That's good.
Excellent.
Yeah, I'm not riding any of them right now because I have just had a hip replacement, so I'm not allowed to ride for 3 months.
Oh, yeah. So you can just listen to Horses in the Morning every day, and that'll keep you distracted.
That's right. I can't wait for the show to come on. Believe me.
You can ride vicariously through us.
That's right.
Well, that's good. Thank you for listening.
All right, we have three categories for you today: random facts to impress your friends, Geez, I Should Have Known That, or Name That Tune, which offers sound clips from shows that had a horse in it, and you need to figure out what the show name was based on the sound clip. So which would you like?
I don't watch shows very much, so I think I'm going to go with Geez, I Should Have Known That. And it's probably
Geez,
the say afterwards.
Yeah, you wish you had picked a show.
Here we go. What condition is pointing indicative of?
Oh, my. I should have known.
Ding, 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 ding. I'm afraid 5 seconds are up.
Oh, that was a tough one. The answer is navicular.
Oh, okay.
Ridiculous.
Jennifer's got tough this week. Did you know that, Helena?
She's throwing in some serious... No, I didn't. I don't even know what pointing is.
I don't either. I thought that was what a dog did. Don't hounds point? I don't know. That's all I know.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a tough one.
Although one of horse.
You're a new caller, right? So you also win the mug.
Yes.
So that's something.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yes. Wonderful.
All right. Well, hold on, and Jennifer will get your information, and we'll make sure we get it out to you. Thanks, Shay.
Great. Thank
Thanks
you.
For listening.
Thank
and
you.
We have a returning caller here. Oh, actually, yep, we have a returning caller. Lynn in Michigan was next in line. Good morning, Lynn.
Hi, Lynn.
Hello.
Well, welcome to Horses in the Morning. You're calling in. I guess this isn't your first go-around with us.
Oh, it's my second go-around.
Well, it's my first, so it should be interesting.
Well, good luck to you.
Well, thank you very much, because I'm going to need it. So the question of the day is, what do you do with your horse's mane? Do you pull it, do you cut it, or do you let it go natural?
I basically let it go natural, but I keep the straggly bits trimmed off like razor or the side of a pair of scissors. So, yeah, mostly au naturel.
But mostly au naturel. Okay. What kind of horses do you have?
I have a thoroughbred Friesian cross who really does have a pretty ratty mane for what she is. But she got the tail. And I have a Morgan. And so he's got a pretty healthy mane.
Yeah.
And exactly. Helena, Lynn is going to, or she is going to be brave and pick the name that tune category, which I spent so much time working to get ready this morning, and nobody's picking it. Just saying.
Because nobody's
she's
good
not going to be brave. She's being so in that category.
If somebody else picked that category, I would know what the song is. If I pick the category, I won't have a clue.
Doggone it.
I'll go brain dead. And no, I'm going to go with the same thing everybody else has been going with, is cheap that. Because so far I have known.
Oh, wow. You've known those? Boy, you're better than us.
All right, so Glenn, which one are we going with?
Wait a minute.
I'm going with, geez, I should have known that.
Okay,
here we go. What does the acronym ASTM stand for?
American Society for Testing and Materials.
Oh, my God. You got
excellent.
That?
Wow.
And she didn't have time to look it up either. That was right there.
No, I don't even have internet. I couldn't look it up if I wanted to.
Oh, my gosh. You deserve to win a prize after the bat. Would you have gotten that, Helena? I don't think I'd have gotten that. And I've said it 1,000 times.
No kidding. You and your helmets for, riders for helmets and all that stuff.
Jeez. Very good. Very nice. All right. Well, let's spin.
I'm proud of myself on that one.
Yeah, you should be.
That's pretty much a wild ass guess.
You should be. All right. Let's spin the wheel and see what you get this week. All right. Here we go. Still got the crappy prize on there. Oh, you win. You didn't get a crappy prize at all. This is a brand new prize on the wheel. You win a Ultra Shield fly protection package worth $70. And
wow, cool.
I know where you live in Michigan, they make flies as big as birds. So
the flies aren't out yet, but the skeeters are real healthy.
Well, you're going to be able to take care of them. Let me tell you about this. It's worth $70 as the weather pest protection needs and your horse's activity levels change, so does their needs for fly control. With four distinct fly control products that you're going to receive, Ultra Shield EX, Ultra Shield Red, Ultra Shield Sport, and Ultra Shield Green, the Ultra Shield family allows you to rotate your protection across the broad range of conditions. You can find out more at absorbine.com, and we thank them for joining up here on Horses in the Morning and providing prizes. You're going to get all four.
Awesome. That's terrific. Thank you. And, the timing is perfect.
Yes. And you didn't win it in the middle of
it wouldn't be so great in
winter.
The wintertime.
Yes, exactly. Thank you, Lynn. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
All right.
Take care.
Lynn, hold on for Jennifer. She'll get to you here in a second. But we do have time for one more, and we have another new caller here. We call this our speed round, Helena. And this is Crystal out of Virginia. Say hi.
Hi, Crystal. Welcome to Horses in the Morning. This is speed round, isn't it, Glenn? What does that mean? What does speed round mean?
Well, that means that we try and do it a little faster, but it never works that way. So,
okay.
So you win the HRN mug, Crystal. That's one.
Thank you.
Are you a rider?
I am.
What do you do?
Right now, hunters, and I'm starting jumpers.
Oh, cool. Very good. Very good. Well, Helena, you have what we do in the speed round is we skip the question of the day and we go right to the categories. And she's going to pick
All right,
name
you're
that
your
tune.
Category.
I know she is.
Your categories are number one, random facts to impress your friends. Number two, geez, I should have known that. Or number three, name that tune. Sound clips from shows that had horses in it.
I'll give you an easy one.
I want to go with geez, I should have known that.
Oh, darn it.
Geez, I should have known that.
I was telling you I'd give you an easy one. Now Helena's going to ask you a hard one, and you'll never get it.
I'll try to make the hard question sound easy. Here we go.
Okay.
Clicker training is based on what behavior-modifying system described by B.F. Skinner?
Ooh. Well, can you repeat that?
Clicker training is based on what behavior-modifying system first described by B.F. Skinner?
Modifying system.
I'll let you pick a name that tune just so I can play one. If you want to change your mind. Do you want to play a name that tune quick?
Sure.
I'll give you an easy one, all right? So you got that one wrong. You should have taken name that tune. Here's an easy one. A couple seconds of a TV show.
You want to play music.
I do. A couple seconds of a TV show that had a horse in it. Now, it's not necessarily the horse is the main part, but one episode at least had a horse. So here you go. Takes a second.
Oh, my God. That is the Big Bang Theory.
Yay! Good job.
That is my favorite show.
Is it? Yay for you. It is ours, too. We watch it. We watch all the reruns. We've seen every episode about 65 times.
Yeah.
Do you remember what episode had a horse in it?
I don't.
It was Kaylee, who plays the cute next door neighbor, actually has horses and everything. Well, she's an aspiring actress in the show, and she got a hemorrhoid commercial, and they had horses in the hemorrhoid commercial, and that's where the horse came into the show.
Right, right.
Yep. See? I'm a Big Bang expert. I know all that stuff. All right, let's spin the wheel quick and see what you win. There we go. Let's knock the wheel over. Oh, no, you won the 6-pack of colorful, crappy hoof picks. Sorry about that. You got the bummer prize today. All that I did to get you a prize, and you end up landing on that? Sheesh. But hold on, it'll be fun. You can hand them out to all your little friends, your little children friends. And also, you win the mug, though, too. So hold on for that. And Jennifer will get to you. Thank you, Crystal. Well, that was fun. You did good. Helena? Are you there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You're co-hosting. You actually have to talk. It's part of the job.
I'm co-hosting a live show. Yes, that was fun. That was a lot of fun. I just wanted them all to win.
I know. It's a bummer when they don't win. But most everybody won because we had a lot of new callers today, so that was good. But before we go...
And the mugs are wicked cool.
We have to say that this game is sponsored by EquityMFG.com. It's the home of the Flex and Fork and the Shake and Fork. Helena, you use a Flex and Fork every day, don't you?
I love my Flex and Fork. I have several different pitchforks, and I always reach for my Flex and Fork, and that's no lie. I love that thing.
We do, too. We have several here, and I can't tell you the last time the other ones, the cheapy ones, have been used. They just sit there.
I make other people use the cheapy ones. It's a group muck day.
That's right. You get the muck. I get the good fork. You get the crappy one.
Yeah, don't touch my flex and fork, man. There's a pitchfork hierarchy.
That's right.
Yeah, it's true.
It is true. And isn't it true that you just can't throw the old crappy ones away? There's something about throwing an old manure fork away. You can't do it. Even if the tines are broken or whatever, you keep it because someday you might have some use for it. I don't know why that is.
Well, it's also like having a guest bed. You know, you never know when someone might come along and need to help you muck a stall.
Yeah, and you're certainly not giving up your good Equity fork, that's for sure. So check them out, mm-hmm. EquityMFG.com, and you'll find the Flexant fork and the Shaken fork, which is the one that actually shakes the sawdust for you. We were showing that off to some friends here at the farm the other day, and they were like, oh, I need one of those. So I think we might have sold another one for Equity, just showing it off here at the farm. It really does work well. And I wanted to mention, too, that this Friday's Really Bad Ads, the prize is the coveted free Flex and Fork. So we're going to give away a Flex and Fork on Friday. So don't miss that. That's another chance. Get your crappy ads from Craigslist into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Takes about 5 minutes. Go on to the farm section, the horse and farm section of Craigslist. It'll take you about 5 minutes to find some really crappy ads, and then just send them into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com for a chance to win the Equity MFG fork. That's this. He hates when we call them pitchforks. They're manure forks. So I've been trying to get that right. Sorry, Joseph. But do you call them pitchfork too, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Pitchfork.
See? I don't know. It's just a New England thing, I think. But we're going to be right back with Victoria from Horse and Country TV right after this word from Back on Track.
Listeners have been asking why Back on Track products work and what is the science behind them. Well, they have evolved from a combination of ancient Chinese wisdom and modern science, as well as skilled textile production. This result is a polyester polypropylene fabric with a ceramic powder that's melted into the fabric's very own weave. The ceramic particles reflect body heat as an infrared wave, a form of energy with a highly documented pain-relieving effect. This reflected heat helps to ease inflammation, reduce muscle pain, and increase blood circulation. Back on Track products can be used to warm up your horse's muscles before exercise, thus reducing the risk of strains or injury. Most importantly, the product's dual capacity to prevent injury as well as ease and expedite the recovery of already present injuries is what makes Back on Track products so unique. I hope that helps as to why their products are so effective. Visit them at backontrackproducts.com. That's backontrackproducts.com.
Well, thank you to Back on Track for supporting Horses in the Morning, and they've been a supporter of ours for a couple of years now, and we really appreciate that. We are actually waiting for Victoria from Horse and Country TV, Helena. She has not arrived yet, so I'm sure she'll be here any minute. But in the meantime, we have a couple other news stories here that I thought were kind of fun. Yeah. Did you see the video of the deer at the Keeneland Racecourse helping them out in the morning workouts?
No.
Yes. There's this video. They were doing the morning workouts at the Keeneland Racecourse. And, of course, I think we took you to Keeneland when you came down, right? You've been there?
No, I did not go to Keeneland.
It's one of the most beautiful tracks in the country. It's just beautiful. I mean, the setting's ideal, ideal, and it's just beautiful. And in the mornings during the race season, they actually have breakfast where you can go have breakfast and you overlook the track as the sun's coming up and they're working the horses. It's really cool. Well, one of the exercise riders took a video of a couple of the horses going by at a full dead gallop, you know, how they do when they're exercising them. And right after that is a deer chasing them right down the backstretch. The whole way down. It was really, really cute. It was a doe. And it was booking quite long at a good rate. I think that doe wanted to be in the races.
Here's a new sport for you.
Yeah. Jennifer will post the link to that video on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. It is really cool. It is really a fun little video. And we always like to mention when there are things for sale that you probably should take a look at, especially if you grow marijuana to the tune of $10 million a year, you might be able to afford this place. And when I put it in the show notes today, Helena, you said you know this place.
I do, yeah. It's about 45 minutes north of me, and a lot of my horse friends compete there. It's Fieldstone Farm.
Well, now, this it's up for sale. Apparently, it's a 106-acre Hunter Jumper Show facility in Halifax, Massachusetts. It began 33 years ago as a one-day horse show facility and has grown really into quite a large operation, huh?
Yeah, very large operation. And it's really one of the nicest showgrounds that I've seen in the Northeast. It's very competitor-friendly, and it's also very spectator-friendly. All the rings are maintained really nicely. The stabling, the on-site stabling is nice. Parking is convenient. You don't have to hike, miles to park. It's just a really nice venue and a very well-run show. They have a couple of series. The ones I've been to as a spectator are the summer series.
Well, it has five show rings, five warm-up rings, a grass Grand Prix field. Apparently back in 1980, Scott Clawson bought the 12 acres where he built the house and the barn, and 2 years later, the 12 acres grew into 42, so he acquired a whole bunch more, and then he actually acquired more to bring it up to 106 acres. And then, they apparently did, they rode quarter horses and stuff when they were growing up, but they actually got into the hunter jumper business then. And they want to retire and sell the facility. It has an indoor arena, which is 100 by 180. The entire property is totally irrigated with drainage systems underground. Each ring has state-of-the-art all-weather footing. The home features manicured landscaping, a large pool, waterfalls, and surrounded by stone walls, a four-car garage, a wood shop, a mechanic shop, all the equipment, as well as seven courses worth of fences, and all of that for the price they won't tell. So I think you have to call to find out. My guess is we can't afford it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me either.
I don't think we're going to be calling anytime soon. Now, this one apparently is also surrounded by the wildlife preserve and the game lands, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah, lots and lots of open space. It's a really pretty area.
Yeah. Well, that's neat. Well, there it is.
Well, maybe if we start growing marijuana, like you said.
Yeah, yeah. We just need a warehouse in Queens, and we'll be fine.
Yeah. I'll meet you there.
And apparently we need lots of instruction on how to actually grow things, because every plant we have in our house is dead. So we're going to need some help. It'd be our luck that the one plant we could get to grow would be marijuana. That'd be our luck.
Yeah, right? I can get weeds to grow.
And it's a
like
weed, right?
Weed.
Isn't marijuana a weed? Yeah.
And actually, you know what else I can grow? But it grows outside, not inside. I have lots of catnip. That's kind of like marijuana for kitties.
Oh, which reminds me, Jennifer, we've had a couple of our listeners request the catnip recipe again. And tell everybody about that and why you use it.
Oh, the famous insect repellent. I dug up online some actual, real, honest-to-goodness scientific research indicating that for some unknown reason, catnip is a more effective mosquito repellent than DEET. So I thought, well, that's worth a try because we have lovely mosquitoes here in Florida. So I made myself up some catnip tea, put it in the spray bottle, and lo and behold, they are correct. It is a fantastic mosquito repellent for you and your horse. And I reposted the recipe over on the Horse Tip Daily Facebook page just this morning.
All right, so just head on over to Horse Tip Daily and you can find it there.
Yeah, if you can make tea, you can make this. You take some catnip and you dump it in some hot water and you let it soak for a while and you've got a little catnip tea.
Huh.
Pretty cool.
Now, you said it wasn't as effective on the flies. It was better for the mosquitoes.
Didn't really do much for flies, but it was very effective with mosquitoes. It reduced the number of mosquito bites by 80%.
Wow.
Yeah. And I have to corroborate that because we do have catnip planted all along our patio, and it does a great job in keeping the mosquitoes away at night.
Really? So
if you take some and you rub it, you break up the actual live plant and you rub it on your skin, on your arms or whatever, it does work. Very well.
Cool. And then the cats are scratching the hell out of you, but that's okay.
Our cats don't mind mosquitoes. For whatever reason, mosquitoes don't really bother with cats, right?
Yeah, that's true. That is true. There's something to that, I guess. Well, now let me ask you one other question here, too. And apparently Victoria, Jennifer, is having trouble getting through today.
Skype is not letting poor old Victoria come through from Spain.
Oh, she's in Spain? That's right. She was going to be on vacation or something this week, wasn't she? Gibraltar or something?
We're throwing Skype right under the bus this morning.
Okay. All right. Well, couple of other news stories for you today. What was the name of your middle school where you went to, Helena?
Suffern Junior High School.
Kind of an ordinary, normal name, right? Mine was Garden Spot Junior High School. Jennifer, what was yours?
Cumberland Valley.
Cumberland Valley Junior
boring.
High School, kind of boring names. So, you know, we read all the news that come out about horses every day to see what we're going to cover here on the show. And this caught my eye because it was about an equestrian team that rides to victory. Well, there's about 1,000 of those articles every day about colleges and stuff. But then when I saw the name, I thought, well, is that the name of the individual that rode to, or was it the name? No, this is actually the name of the middle school. It is the Hugh, H-U-G-H, Sexy, S-E-X-E-Y Middle School in the UK. Hugh Sexy Middle School Equestrian Team rode to victory during a major school's riding event in the UK. Imagine being the person that has to go to Hugh Sexy Middle School. No comment?
No. No, I was just trying to come up with something witty, and there I got nothing.
Oh, there's a lot of witty, I'm sure, that goes on with the kids that are in the opposing schools.
Well, something that was PG rated. But it's spelled S-E-X-E-Y, right?
Okay, but it's still pronounced sexy, right?
I know. Well, you know, there was a private school up north of Boston called Governor Dummer Academy.
No.
Yeah. Oh, so, and they had it changed, and there was a lot of debate over it, and they did finally have it changed. So, you know, I know that the name is the name, but your reputation is your reputation.
Oh my God! Really? So it was basically the dumber school.
Yes, it was.
Ooh, that's
yes,
tough.
It was. And I believe now it's called the Governor's Academy.
Who? They had to have committee meeting after committee meeting, you know, before they came up with the name of the school, right? There was meetings after meetings, because that's the way schools do things. Who thought it was a good idea?
Well, maybe this Hugh Sexy person donated a lot of money to the school or built the school.
Then call it the Hugh Middle School and skip the sexy part. I don't know.
But, you know, there could be 100. Which Hugh? You know, Mr. Sexy, Principal Sexy, Governor Senator Sexy. There's no winning with that last name.
So I give Katie, Lucy, Molly, and Rupert credit because they won the competition despite the name of their school. And you know what kind of harassment they had to put up with. It's not been good. Another story here quick, and then we'll take a break for our song for the day. You know how we always have celebrities who just make fools out of themselves when they try and talk about horses? They just think they know about a little bit about everything, and then they make fools out of themselves. Well, Matthew McConaughey did it. He was the last one. And he said over the weekend he was at the 6th annual Bayview, I didn't even know how to say this. It was a polo classic in New Jersey over the weekend. And he said he admitted to not being too up to date on the sport of polo, but he said he doesn't think it would be too hard to learn because riding horses is like riding a bike.
Well, it's not really the brightest bulb on the tree.
You guys have both taken polo lessons. It's really easy to learn, right?
Oh, God. That mallet is like carrying around an anvil. I don't... You know, so that's number one. Number two, it's like carrying around an anvil while you're sitting on top of a rocket ship. So have at it, Matt.
And you played rugby, right? You're a rugby player, so it's not like you were not used to balls and, you know, games with balls.
Will you stop with the rugby? It's lacrosse.
Oh, lacrosse. That's right. Well, that's even better. You should have picked up polo like that.
First, no, we got to back up for a minute. How many years have I known you now, and how many times, every single time you bring up my college career, you call it rugby.
I do.
It's lacrosse. Women's lacrosse. There's an entire association, the United States Lacrosse Association.
I guess for some reason
I did not play rugby.
I keep picturing you playing the rough and tumble beat 'em up rugby. I don't know why.
I'm like a peanut. I wouldn't last one day out on a rugby field.
Sorry.
Oh. Hey, Helena, I have a good polo lesson story for you.
Okay.
We took our polo lesson up in Massachusetts together, and it was enormous fun.
Yes.
And I wish I could remember the name of the lovely gentleman who gave us our lesson, because he was fantastic.
I can't remember.
We learned a lot. we got to, you know, we were out there for a good hour, hour and a half, got to learn how to hit the ball and how to hold the mallet and all this really cool stuff. And we got to ride his amazing polo ponies, which, like you said, are a little bit like sitting on a rocket. Well, I got to take a polo lesson when we lived in Kentucky because I thought that first one was so much fun. Let's do this again. So I took a polo lesson in Kentucky, and not all polo lessons are created equal.
Really?
Yes, it was a group lesson, and there were 1, 2, 3 other riders there. And they basically put you on a scrawny horse auction reject horse, and they hand you a mallet and throw a ball on the ground and say, go have fun. And that was it. It was not, this is how you hold the mallet, this is, you know, how it works. No, they just, well, no, just hit it around. You'll get it after a while.
Which is really interesting because the people we took our lessons from were not instructors.
They were just players, yeah.
Yeah, it was someone's private string, right, of mm-hmm. polo ponies. Yeah. Private farm, private trainer. They don't typically teach other people how to ride things. Now, granted, you know, we were riding some pretty good quality horses there, and that was the challenge because, again, rocket ship, holding an anvil. But you're right, we did get a real lesson in technique and how to ride those horses. Oh, my God, that was the first time I ever posted to the canter. You had to.
I think it took me 40 minutes till I was even gutsy enough to try and canter on those guys.
I know. I'm like, don't put your leg on. Okay.
No, don't do that.
You can't even think about putting your leg on. You'd be in the next county.
Yeah, and they were very, very aerodynamic. There wasn't anything to hold on to on those horses.
Oh, my God. They were so super fit. They were great. They were really sweet. Like, I had to say, their personalities were lovely, but they were just super fit and, like, big-time athletes with athlete yeah. brains.
Yeah,
it was.
Not all polo lessons are created equal out there, folks. So surf around and find a good one.
But it probably should be on everybody's bucket list. You guys came back talking about it for a long time. It should be on everybody's bucket list, something to do.
Yeah, I actually have a picture of us on my Facebook page from that lesson. I'll have to find it and share it to Stable Scoop.
Yeah.
Well, let's take a break for a word from one of our sponsors. And then also, I thought I'd play a little Templeton Thompson because I know Helena likes Templeton Thompson. This is a horse that can fly. And we'll be back with, hopefully, if she can get through, with Michelle Anderson of thehorse.com with the weekly horse health report.
Here, host of the Horse Tip Daily Show on the Horse Radio Network. The way consumers interact with the brands they have trusted for years and those they are about to fall in love with for the first time is becoming more and more mobile, literally, and will continue to do so for the foreseeable future. Podcasts or internet radio shows like this one combine the new consumer preference for on-demand information and entertainment with the power of niche market audiences. Advertising on the Horse Radio Network podcasts allows you to reach the equestrian consumer using today's preferred on-demand delivery system. It's cost-effective and flexible, able to reinforce your existing marketing and social media strategies. To learn more about advertising on this show or any of the shows on the Horse Radio Network, contact us at 859-951-2022 or you can email us at glenn@horseradionetwork.com. That's Glenn with 2 N's at horseradionetwork.com. Come and join the Horse Radio Network family. You'll enjoy the ride.
All caged in, need to get a little air so I can breathe again. Got a thirst in my heart, hunger in my eyes, need to satisfy my soul.
free my wild side. My wheels have been spinning like crazy in my head. Gotta get back to living before I forget. My sights are set where that green grass is. A good running start to get me up and I fell. Yeah, 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 yeah. I need somewhere to run, somewhere to rock. Fresh pair of wings and a long stretch sky. I've saddled these dreams, I'm holding on tight. Need a good strong tailwind and a horse that can fly. Yeah. Got a load on my back and a lot on my mind. Yeah, the weight of this world and against me sometimes. There's a freedom inside me. I've been missing so much. Gonna kick the gates wide open and live a bigger, prouder. Yeah, 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 yeah. I need somewhere to run, somewhere to rock. A fresh pair of wings and a long stretch of grass. I'm sad on these dreams, holding on tight. Need a good, strong tailwind and a horse that can fly. Yeah. Giddy up, look at what lies on the horizon. Second star to the left. And straight on till morning. I need somewhere to run, somewhere to rock. A fresh pair of wings and a long stretch of sky. Saddle these dreams, holding on high. Need a good strong tailwind and a horse that can fly. Yeah, I need a horse that can fly. Yeah, turn off the stress, turn off the dream. Got a load on my back and a lot on my mind, yeah. Gonna free my wild side. Yeah.
Well, that was A Horse That Can Fly by Templeton Thompson. You can find all of her music at templetonthompson.com. And we are back with you here on Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek. I am here with Helena B. of the Stable Scoop Radio Show, filling in for Jamie while she's off listening to right now. Actually, we haven't heard any reports from her. I haven't checked on Facebook, and I have not heard from her, so I assume she's home and trying to get acclimated to what it's like to have a baby in the house. You remember that?
I do. You don't sleep much in the first 2 weeks.
That's right. Well, I'm assuming that she's probably not sleeping too much at this point. And I'm looking on her page, and I don't see anything new. So I have no updates for you as far as Jamie and the baby are concerned. But this show today is brought to you by Back on Track Products, and we appreciate Helena filling in. She's going to try and fill in on Wednesdays till Jamie comes back. Jennifer's getting set up. Michelle Anderson of thehorse.com, so we can do the weekly horse health report. She did manage to get through. But while we're waiting for her, I got to give shout out to Bobby Flay, the chef. You know, everybody knows Bobby Flay, and I have a story about Bobby Flay, actually. But he does a lot of work to help the Jockey Club, because he owns racehorses, and he does a lot of work to help the Jockey Club raise money for a variety of charities that help retired horses, and also help do research on horse lamenesses and a number of things to try and keep horses healthy. And they have a fundraiser every year called the Grayson Jockey Club Research Foundation, and it's the Belmont Stakes Charity Celebration. And this year it's going to be held at Bobby Flay's Bar American restaurant in Manhattan. So he's putting his time and effort. He donated everything for that. And he, you know, he's had some winners over the years, but I have a funny story for you. We had a girl who came to live with us after she moved out of another area, and she needed a job, so she went to work at the sales at Keeneland, at where they sell the yearlings and the babies, and she went to work for one of the barns over there. And she said this guy came up, this redheaded guy came up, and girls kept stopping and asking for pictures and his autograph, and she said, I had no idea who he was. But they kept asking and they kept interrupting, and he kept wanting to look at horses, and these girls, all these girls were coming over, kept interrupting. And I said, well, did you hear anybody mention his name? And she said, I think they said his name was Bobby. So she met Bobby Flay and didn't even know it. She was showing him a horse at the auction, had no idea, but apparently Bobby Flay's even pretty popular in the barn.
Yeah, he's pretty popular in my barn.
She had never seen the Food Channel. She had never watched the Food Channel, so she had no idea who this guy was. But it isn't amazing when you think about it, though. You got the Emeril Lagasse's and the Bobby Flays and the Giottas, and the Food Channel truly has made chefs celebrities, and that had never happened to the point it has now, where they've become big celebrities.
You know what? I think it's pretty good, because I like that whole concept, because they actually have a skill, a talent. They're really good at what they do. And I think people who are passionate and talented deserve a certain amount of celebrity for, you know, devoting their life to their passion, their work passion. So I think that's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, so he's doing a good job for them, and so shout outs to Bobby Flay. I know he's listening, for doing what he's doing there. Well, it is that time of the week where we do this.
Time for the weekly health report from Horse.com. Fantastic information and their attempt to ruin Glenn's lunch every week.
Hi, Michelle. This is Michelle, the digital editor of thehorse.com, joins us every week here on Wednesdays. And I think Jennifer's trying to get Dr. Jones on the line here. So good morning, Michelle.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good. Hey, I think we should ask her the question of the day, Helena. Go ahead.
Uh-oh. Okay, here we go. The question of the day is, your horse's mane, do you prefer to pull it, cut it, or let it go natural?
Ooh, I kind of do a combination of things. I cut, then pull. Like, I cut with my... I have my thinning shears, and I try to make... I'm really not good. Like, you would never want me to cut your hair. So I try to trim it, and then I'll pull it a little bit. I have one horse that will put up with a little bit of pulling, and then one that absolutely does not. My quarter horse actually looks like a wild Brumby right now. It's actually grown out and kind of crazy, and I need to pull it up. But, yeah, I do like a tidy mane. That doesn't mean I always get to it. Is that a non-answer?
No, that's actually a very good answer. You've had everything from leaving it all natural to... I personally like to cut, but I like to pretend that I'm a salon stylist and I know what I'm doing. When I don't, it always ends up looking like a little Amish boy, but whatever.
Well, my quarter horse has this beautiful black, like that blue-black mane, and I do exactly what I do with my own hair. Like, I think it's a good idea to grow it out, and so I'll grow it out, and then I'll just be like, I hate it, and then cut it off. Give him a bowl cut.
I know the bowl
cut. That's exactly what I do. I go in, I'm like, I hate it. I'm getting my hair cut.
And they look at you like, you didn't just do that to my mane, did you? You did.
I know.
You did.
And my and sometimes I run out of steam, and so I get it half done, and I'm sure my neighbor looks over the fence going, like, what are you doing with your horses? Your poor horses. But I try not to let them go out in public like that. I do try to make them presentable before they go out in public. But, yeah, pulling manes, I don't know. It just seems so mean to me.
I always thought that, too. As a horse husband, I always thought when I saw Jennifer pull a mane for the first time, I'm going, I wouldn't want my hair ripped out of my head one little thing at a time. It's like torture.
Yeah.
It's just not necessary.
I'm going to tell a story about a friend. So I have a friend who worked for a better name, better known trainer, big international type person. I won't say the discipline. And she would pull a mane like a wild person. Like she'd go in and just attack the manes. And this was at our therapeutic riding center. She'd go in and start pulling the manes and like traumatize everyone, including the horses. But she's the same person who now, about 5 years later, is like, I don't think we should put bits in horses' mouths. I don't think it's nice. I don't know that we should really be riding horses. So she's come a long way. I'd have to ask her if she'd still pull a mane. Man, she was crazy pulling a mane. Just like a whirlwind. Oh,
a complete turnaround.
All right, here we go. Yeah. This is Michelle Anderson, digital editor of thehorse.com with the weekly horse health report. And she is joined by Dr. Jones of Florida Equine. It's been so long, I can't remember where, Dr. Jones. It's been a while.
Good morning, everybody. You know what? If you get any one of those psychics on the phone, they'll tell you that your horse doesn't like to be ridden. So, you know.
Well, so we I don't know if you saw the article we just published about the research that shows that horses prefer not to work.
Well, I prefer not to work.
I haven't seen that
Humans
one.
Prefer not to work. My dog prefers not to work. Everybody prefers not to work.
I'm with you on that.
Well, now, that's because you're right back from vacation. But you know, this research showed now we have scientific proof that horses would prefer to go out the gate of the arena than do what they need to do inside the arena. So if
no
you ever
kidding.
Wonder if your horse, you're okay not riding your horse because your horse is happy to stand there and do nothing. So,
oh my
check it
goodness.
Out. It's a really,
really
it was
fat
great.
Horses. Oh boy.
I know. Oh yeah. See, it's good for them.
Don't you wish?
Lots of potatoes out there. Oh boy.
You know, we wouldn't have to work if we all made the money they spent on these stupid surveys that I could tell them the answer to before they start. Just saying.
So, but and Dr. Jones is back from vacation. So thank you for joining us, Dr. Jones.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so today's
still
topic,
on vacation.
Yeah. Welcome back to reality. So we're going to talk about joint injections today. So equine joint injections, why this came up for me this week is because I had the vet out 2 weeks ago or so to look at my horse, and I said to him, I can't tell which leg he's lame on. And I'm usually pretty good. I can usually figure it out and go like, I think this is what's bothering him. And so I work the horse, and my vet goes, well, you can't tell because he's lame on three legs.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So we just did this massive series of joint injections. And, you know, if you haven't been around a joint injection, it's really kind of, I think, kind of weird and scary that these needles are getting stuck in your horse's joints. So I wanted to start with, when you hear people talking about getting their horse injected, and when you're in barns, you hear about it a lot, what are they talking about? What are they referring to?
Well, first off, I want to say is you've probably never been to an orthopedic to have your joint injected, have you?
No, I haven't.
That's why it's really scary to you. Coming from somebody who's been beat up by horses, I've had my joints injected, yes. I wouldn't say that my job is a competitive sport, but I do think that we get banged up enough that we do need to get some fixing up occasionally. And if you think about what we do with these horses, they are athletes in either a mild way or in a very heavy way, depending on what you do. So we need to keep their joints healthy because they are constantly beating them to death by running around either in the circle of a racetrack or a course jumping or even just doing ring work or pasture, you know, running. So what it is a joint injection is exactly what it sounds like. They're putting needles into joints, like you said, and they're injecting products, whether it's homemade by the animal or it's something that they have pulled out of a bottle. But the whole idea is to take the fire out of the joint or the pain out of the joint for a while and make the horse or the person feel much better and not cause any deterioration in the joint, further deterioration.
So you're talking about pain and inflammation. What kind of conditions are we addressing when we're injecting joints?
Oh, it starts as little as minor synovitis, and that fancy word means there's inflammation in the synovium, which is in the joint capsule, and in the joint itself, the synovium that lines it gets inflamed, and it could be as severe as a chip or trauma to the joint, where it's causing some sort of major inflammatory response from a fractured chip situation to major arthritis that's just been beat up too many times and never addressed or taken care of.
Okay. And so when I have heard people talk about getting their horses' joints injected, there's sometimes these conversations about, oh, well, my vet used X, Y, and Z drugs, and, well, my vet has the special formula of X, Y, and Z, these other A, B, and C drugs. What kind of drugs are we injecting into the joint?
Anything and everything. No, I'm just joking. it's any inflammatories in general.
Does that test, doctor? Just checking.
You can take any of the drugs out there that we're putting into the joints and probably put them in an anti-inflammatory category. That's basically, again, what we're trying to do with these joints is take the fire out. The first thing you hear about is steroids. Oh, no, I don't want to put steroids in my horse's joint because it's gotten such a bad name, it deteriorates the cartilage. Well, it's not deteriorating the cartilage right away. Over time it will, but if you don't address that joint and you continue to have that arthritis going on with pain and inflammation, the inflammation of the horse's own body is actually causing deterioration of the cartilage. And people don't think about that aspect of it because they're thinking about, well, the cortisone goes in there, and that cortisone will degrade my cartilage in my horse's joint, and so I'm going to always have to have these joint injections. Not necessarily true. They'll need them only because there's a beginning of cartilage breakdown, and there is problems going on, and that's not going to regenerate itself on an older horse back to its normal young cartilage unless you transplant cartilage. So cortisone, hyaluronic acid, Attaquan, PRP, IRAP, stem cells, all these you're hearing are all basically anti-inflammatories. With the aspect of stem cells being a little bit more than an anti-inflammatory, they're trying to regrow cartilage within the joint itself.
And so let's go back to the hyaluronic acid, because that's something that some people inject it in their standard injections and some don't. And when I was getting my horse injected, I had several people tell me, make sure he puts HA, make sure he puts HA. Can you explain a little bit about what hyaluronic acid is?
Yes, hyaluronic acid is normally found in the horse's joint, so putting it in is not abnormal. So a lot of people like it because it's normally found in the joint. It, in my simplest description to my clients, I always tell them it's kind of a lubricant, but it also helps with inflammation. It does calm down what we call flares. Some people feel that some of the hyaluronic acids cause flares, but in general, it seems to calm down a joint and help nourish it at the same time. So it's a good anti-inflammatory as well as a good lubricant or nourishment for the joint. There's different types that are made, and that's where you get kind of the sticky discussion. And, of course, it's always the pharmaceutical companies saying mine's better than his discussions. But they are made at different levels of molecular weight, and thus their prices reflect that, if that's my best way of saying that. So you can have a different type of hyaluronic acid or HA added to your horse's joint. They all across the board will do a great job. They just might cost you a little bit more as you add more molecular weight and make it a bit more sticky.
Okay. And so when a joint is getting injected, your vet's taking a needle and sticking it in the joint, and there's always a risk of infection. Do are antibiotics ever included in that to prevent?
Antibiotics got introduced back when Attaquan got a bad name going into the joints. I'm just going to state that right now, and I don't think any of the manufacturers of Attaquan or reps would disagree with me on that topic. Attaquan is a fantastic substance to use in the joint of a horse, and it really has calmed down inflammation in a horse's joint numerous times. But it is only used if there is no sepsis, meaning bacteria in that joint. So if you're just injecting a joint on a regular basis, you might drag in, at any point in time in your life, through the needle, one small piece of bacteria from the skin into that joint. And even though that joint is not what we call septic or full of bacteria because it was opened up to the environment and dirty and, you know, filleted open and a bad thing, you might drag a piece of bacteria in. So because of that risk, antibiotics were added to Attaquan injections. From there, a lot of new veterinarians, and I would include myself because I came at that point of Attaquan's introduction in past, started to put antibiotics in every joint injection they did. And AAP has done some great studies. Some of the residents have produced some great studies at AAP saying if you're adding an antibiotic, sometimes you're causing more detriment because of the pH change in the joint. So you don't necessarily have to have the antibiotics in with your joint injection unless you're using Attaquan. It's almost a must.
And so this is something that we do after we've tried other things with our horses typically. Is that how you recommend doing injections? And I say that because I knew it was going to be expensive, so I did everything I could before we did the injections. But is it kind of the first thing you go to, or is it something that you work in into the program to rehab a horse?
Both, or really maintain? Both, really. A lot of clients don't like the idea of a joint injection. They've heard bad news about it. Back in the old days, there was a particular cortisone, and we still use the cortisone today, that does cause some demise of the cartilage, more so than another steroid. And so people kind of heard that out there, that whispering out there, and that caught on and hung on. Well, we don't necessarily use that cortisone or that steroid that much anymore. We use the other one that's not as harsh on the cartilage. And so majority of the veterinarians out in the field are using the nicer, kinder steroid, and so people shouldn't be as afraid of doing that joint injection anymore as they were in the past. So if I can talk to a client and they seem to be okay, they've had surgeries on their joints, they've had joint injections themselves, a lot of the clients
are
like,
heck yeah. And they have some money in the bank.
They're like, heck yeah, let's go for it.
Yep.
Let's get it done because I want the fire taken out. Now, ironically, all the injections I've had, and including my husband's shoulder, we get a steroid injection and a little bit of lidocaine added into our joint injections in the human world. No HA. And I asked the orthopedic, and he said because insurance won't cover it the first time. If the joint injection didn't work and you come back and they re-inject you within a significant amount of time, I don't know what the cutoff time is, if it's 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 6 months, whatever it is, and say, look, I still have pain in my shoulder, I still have pain in my knee, then they can add the HA and the insurance will cover it.
And
it's a little wacky, but
yeah.
That's what
they do. Can you walk us through the procedure? Like, what should an owner expect?
Absolutely. Well, the ivory tower, meaning the best way to determine if your horse needs a joint injection or not, is to block the joint, trot or ride the horse, and see if they feel better. That's ivory tower. That would be the best scenario. Sometimes that doesn't allow it because the horse will, A, kick your face off if you're trying to put it in the back leg, and we have to keep the horse awake enough to ride them or trot them to make sure, so we can't sedate them to do this block. But you scrub a surgical scrub, and there's a particular way you do a surgical scrub, and there's a particular length of time that you should be scrubbing for a surgical scrub to make sure that you have the cleanest entry possible. The next step is you have gloves on yourself as a veterinarian. You have all sterile equipment, nothing has been touched by outside hands, and you enter the needle into the joint, attach your syringe, and inject the product in. The product should be lidocaine to numb it. Wait your amount of time, trot the horse off, the horse looks great, then you can go ahead and inject with your steroids. Usually you don't inject the same day, you come back about 4 days later and re-inject because you want to give the time to calm down in the joint.
And you mentioned you don't sedate for the block, but do you sedate to do the joint injections?
Right. So for the fractious horses, the ones, and usually like racetrack horses and some of these high-end performance horses, a lot of times we may not block. So we'll do a clinical workup, meaning we're not going to block and medically see if the horse feels better. We're going to inject it with a steroid in the HA, and then you're going to ride it in about 2 weeks and tell me, wow, this horse feels tons better. There's not a single lameness. Or we'll come back in 2 weeks and look at the horse and say, wow, this horse is looking fantastic. There's no need for us to do any more blocks because we found the source of the problem and we injected it. We're all good.
Okay. And so once you do the injection, then what happens? Do you wrap it? Does it need to be protected?
Well, there's a couple different. The gentleman I worked for in my first job out of school, they would wrap all their joint injection sites. 22-gauge needles, what I use, and most of them are 20-gauge, which is what you usually use for injecting vaccines on larger joints. I don't usually wrap those. So I just make sure that they're cleaned up afterwards, wiped down with a little alcohol maybe, and carry on. I tell my clients to give them a few days off to let the steroid kick in and do its job before you start running on it or using it. Kind of the same thing in the human world. They tell you to kind of take it easy for a couple days, let everything calm down, and then you can start back to work. A lot of times I'll see my best results at before the 2 weeks. I get a client calls me up and says, you know, my horse isn't any better. I'll tell them, give it the full 2 weeks, then call me back. And I would say more than 85% of the time the clients call back and say the horse is looking great.
Well, that's good to know because my horse is at about 90% great after 6 days. So
hey, that's
I can't wait to get him to 100%. But so as far as complications go, my vet, after he did the injections, he said, if you have any swelling, I want to know about it. If you have any swelling with lameness, I want to know about it yesterday. So what
yes,
kind
of
complications
are
Yeah,
both of those are complications, and they can show up sometime shortly after the injection's done, so within the first couple days. Usually, once you're past that, you're usually fine. And what that means is you've got a septic joint. And what the old phrase is it's not if you're going to get a septic joint, it's when, if you're doing enough of them in the equine world. So you can scrub like you do every single time, do a good surgical scrub. You can have sterile gloves, sterile procedure, and still get a septic joint, because the wind blew up a piece of dirt off the aisleway floor into your site and you didn't see that. Something can happen where you will get a septic joint, and that's what they want to warn you about. So we try to do everything possible to make it as sterile as possible to do the joint injection, but there is always that possibility of complications. Again, anything in medicine is never 100%. There's always a risk of a side effect.
And so how long do these injections usually last on a horse that needs them?
It depends on what the problem is, and it depends on the horse and what it's used for. So I've got horses that I'll do injections on, and I won't see them for a year. Sometimes I've done an injection in a certain particular joint, and that joint seemed to be tweaked for whatever reason, and then I never see that horse ever again. Or I see them every 4 months or every 6 months, depending on their use and how bad the arthritis is. Of course, x-rays always give us the best view of what the arthritis looks like, so having a baseline of x-rays when you first do your joint injections always helps a veterinarian down the line, a couple years down the line, going, wow, I used to do your joint injections once a year or once every 6 months, and now every 4 months you're calling me, and it seems to correct what the joint injections are doing, but boy, the joint must be getting worse. Well, if we didn't have a baseline of x-rays to start with, we don't know how much worse the joint got, except for just by a clinical diagnosis of we're doing the injections more often.
Okay. And so how much money do I need to save to get my first injection?
That was my question.
Will I know when I know? Will I know?
A lot of people just start off with a steroid injection without the HA. Mm-hmm. So the friends telling you to add the HA, I think they're very wise friends. I like to add HA to my joint injection. Some veterinarians don't even give their clients any options. They put the HA in it right away without any discussion. It's just part of their joint injections. So you can do steroid alone. On a budget case, I will do that because I know the horse needs some pain relief. They need, you know, to have this horse have some pain relief, and then they can, carry on. The best scenario, though, with the HA, It, again, there's different levels of prices because of the levels of molecular weight of the HA. So you can have a variation. You can probably get away as inexpensively as $250 for two joints to be injected, usually two hock joints injected, one on one side, one on the other. Sometimes you get four areas injected in the hocks, two on one leg and two on the other, and that can carry you all up to 500. You can go even higher if you're doing PRP and IRAP into the horse's joints, and those get you up into the thousands, and then stem cells can go up from there.
Yeah. Well, good to know.
I want to make one comment about the joint injections. We had some great results with IRAP on joint injections, especially those, as we called it, were non-responsive to steroid. That's how we started to use it. And what IRAP is, as we all know, is using the horse's own blood that has anti-inflammatories in the plasma, and we spin off those plasma anti-inflammatories, pull them up in a syringe, and inject them in the joint, and it calms the inflammation down. Now, granted, we have to do 3 to 4 injections a couple weeks apart each time to get the proper amount of anti-inflammatories straight into the joint from the horse's blood. So it costs quite a bit of money to do, but you're not putting a foreign, such as a steroid, foreign substance into the horse's joint. And we seem to get some great results as in healthy joints from some of these horses who've had IRAP done. Some of the racehorse people are considering doing that instead of steroid injections on the younger horses. Data is still not collected enough to know that that's the primo way, and there should be no other way to do it but that. But in theory, in clinical practice, we're getting some great results on those horses. So for those people that are very scared about putting steroid in their horses, they can consider the IRAP, but it will be very costly.
Well, thank you, Dr. Jones. You've put me at a little bit of ease. I'm going to knock on wood that my horse stays sound and that this works for him and that we can get another show season or two out of him. So,
fantastic.
And we wonder, Dr. Jones, why the horses don't want to see the vet coming. You know?
It's always about the needle, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. My poor guy got his joints injected and his teeth done, so he had a rough day.
Oh.
A really rough day.
Actually, he had a great day because you took away the sharp points. He instantly felt better the next time he chewed a piece of hay. And now, as he's walking around, his joints are feeling better.
That's true. Yeah, he's a whole new man. And I do have to say, the day after the injections, I went out to feed in the morning. He had had his teeth done and the injections, and he came trotting up to the gate to meet me. And so that made me feel like, you know, maybe this was the right decision with this horse, because he obviously felt good the day after having his joints poked, good enough to trot up to the gate, and he was perky and happy, and he's been that way under saddle. So they definitely tell us when they're uncomfortable and unhappy. You just kind of have to look for those subtle messages that they give. Sometimes they're not so subtle.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. The comment I get is, I've got a new horse underneath me, Dr. Jones. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I hope I can sit his trot now that his joints are better.
You might have a problem with that.
That may not be the horse. We're not sure.
Do I hear the new mom on the radio?
No, she's off on maternity leave. We have Alina with us today.
Okay. I just heard a voice in the background. I didn't know if it was the new mom or not.
Helena's the old mom.
Nope, old mom.
So, Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
Michelle Anderson of thehorse.com, and, of course, Dr. Jones of Florida Equine. It's floridaequine.com, right?
Yes, sir, and there's some good discussions on there about what we offer in PRP, IRAP, and joint injections. So you can read about them.
Very good. Thank you, Dr. Jones. Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye,
Bye. Now, you know, I said that about the vets, but, you know, what happened there with Michelle is the horse thanked her and thought it was all her that did it, and still hates the vet. The vets can't win either way.
Oh.
So, have you ever done the joint injection thing with your horses?
Yes. Oh, gosh. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Well, Zeke, in particular, had his elbow done, but that was, you know, for a traumatic injury versus just maintenance. But, oh, yeah, ultrasound-guided injections, all kinds of funny things floating around in the synovial fluid. Yeah, I knew a thing or two about joint injections.
And the $5,000 bill that came later.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. You can find all the show notes for today's show at horsesinthemorning.com. You can also find all of our past episodes of Horses in the Morning, almost 700 of them now. You can follow us on Facebook at Horses in the Morning. I noticed that we had a couple people write on Facebook, how do they enter the really bad ads? You just send what we want you to do is when you find the Craigslist really bad ad, don't send just a link to the ad, because by the time we get to it, it may be gone. So copy the whole ad, pictures and all, just the whole ad, copy it, paste it into an email, and send it to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Jennifer with two N's at horseradionetwork.com. Put really bad ads in the subject line, and we'll see if we can get it in. Now, if yours isn't in this week, if you send it in, it's not in this week's show, look for it, because they're a little piled up, so we'll try and get it in a future show, so keep listening. But we do appreciate you sending them in, and it is a lot of fun. Thank you, Helena, for filling in today. And I guess we'll if people want more of Helena, they can head over to Stable Scoop Show. It'll be out later in the week. StableScoop.com. And Jennifer just posted, she's mean to us, she just posted episode number one. We should just delete that forever and never let anybody listen to it. It was Helena and I going, okay, we got a show now. What are we going to do? We could talk to each other.
All right. Why not? Recording.
I did listen back, and I know you did last year when we had our anniversary. You listened back to it, too, and it was kind of embarrassing, I have to say.
Oh, my God. It's painful. Like, I can't even hit the play button. I'm like, oh, my God. I was so stupid.
I mean, we suck now, but we really sucked back then. It was there.
We sucked. Yeah, totally sucked. It's all right.
Thank you, everybody, for calling in to play.
Sucking now. We didn't get better. We just got used to sucking.
That's right. People just get used to us. I think that's what it is. That's it. Let's call it a day. We'll see y'all. Be safe.
All right.
Take a ride today. Be nice to your horses so you don't end up with thousands of dollars of joint injections and things. Thanks, Helena.
Thanks, everybody.